Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatton rocks the world.
How do you like it?
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over! Mamma mia! He's done it! Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko!
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to BTR Boxing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Sean, and I'm joined by Johnston for this week's big fight preview between Sal Canelo Alvarez and John Ryder. Cinco de Mayo week is here, and it's happening in Mexico. A huge fight for John Ryder, the biggest fight of his career, undoubtedly, and a mountain to climb, a huge mountain indeed. And can he topple the man at the top of that mountain? Well, we're going to sit and discuss this fight and preview what could potentially happen in Mexico. Johnston, it is a fantastic opportunity to see Canelo back in Mexico in front of all of his fans, in front of everybody watching around the world, and certainly in front of our UK fight fans, who will mostly all be rooting for John Ryder, of course, because they're going to want him to certainly try and cause a monumental upset. But the general consensus is he doesn't win this fight, and we will go into why we think that could be the case, or why we think, you know, maybe it couldn't be the case and he could win the fight. But it's a great fight. Cinco de Mayo, Canelo fight week. He's taken over the whole Mayweather fight week, hasn't he? He used to do the same thing, yeah. Cinco de Mayo, and then obviously in September, and Canelo's taken over that mantelpiece, and it's always exciting when we get a big fight week.
It is, and it's nice to have it on Cinco de Mayo as well. Canelo fighting on their Independence Day, which is a great opportunity for him to just, you know, fill out stadiums. I'm guessing this fight was sold out in a matter of minutes. First time he's fought in Mexico since 2011 against Kermit Cinturón. That was the last time he fought there. But yeah, I mean, it's just a showcase event to show off Canelo Alvarez against a guy that we'll be rooting for in John Ryder. What chance do we give him? Very slim one. But that being said, he's in there. He's got an opportunity like everyone else. Everyone's writing him off. I'm sure he isn't writing himself off. But just you look at the styles of the two fighters, it's difficult to root. It's easy to root for Ryder, but it's very difficult to figure out a route for him to win the fight. But look, we'll break it down. And as you say, it's great to have Canelo back on. No matter what I've said and thought of him throughout the years, you know, I've had my issues with him. I've had my issues with some of his results. But do you know what? When you look at it and you look at the face of it and you look at the guy and the context of him and what he does in and delivers in the ring, you can't help but like him in that respect. There are elements that I dislike, but it's nice to see. It feels like it's a big fight when Canelo's fighting. So that's how you know he's the face of boxing. He really still is.
He is. And many people believe that he is the guy to beat in the super middleweight division. He's the undisputed champion. He's also a guy which many people think could be on the slide. And that's certainly a conversation I'd like to explore in this episode, because I've seen many boxing journalists, boxing YouTube reporters, media personalities, whatever they want to label themselves, they certainly start to talk about Canelo has not looked as good as he once did, and this whole conversation, is he letting himself go outside of the ring and not focusing as much as he once did? Now, that's certainly a conversation to explore as we go through the course of the episode. But I want to flip the script and talk about John first, because John's got a huge opportunity here, and he's earned his way into this opportunity. I think he's deserving of this opportunity. Some people would disagree with me and say, well, what about Benavidez? Why was he not fighting Canelo? Why is Canelo not fighting Benavidez? Understandably so. That fight will happen. I do genuinely believe it will happen when the time is right. At this moment in time, John Ryder's put himself into a position through the fights that he's previously had with the WBA in particular, WBO in particular, should I say, not WBA. And he's got himself into this position by beating an aging Danny Jacobs and then beating Zach Parker in his last fight. Obviously, Zach Parker pulled out of the fight due to a broken right hand. But still, them two fights alone have propelled him into this position now where he fights the face of boxing, as you said. And arguably, his fight with Callum Smith in 2019, it certainly taught us a lot about where he was at in his career, because I honestly think, when you look back through his career, he's a bit of a veteran for British boxing now. He's been fighting since 2010. And you look at the results and you think, oh, well, he lost to Billy Joe in 2013. And then he had his fight with Nick Blackwell in 2015, lost to Nick Blackwell in 7 rounds in the middleweight division. And then come back and then lost to Jack Arnfield in 2016 and Rocky Fielding in 2017. So you look at his resume and you think, hang on a minute, you know, these are guys there, some of them haven't even, for one reason or another, been able to excel themselves to this level. But yet, because of the run of fights that John Ryder's on, he's put himself into that position for a really good opportunity. And I also do feel he's very tailor-made for Canelo's style. And I do feel the opportunity has arisen for Canelo to fight back in Mexico in front of so many thousand fans against a guy who will come to fight you, against a guy who will make it really entertaining as long as it lasts. So for John, this is a huge mountain to climb, and there's so many elements of this fight where you could pick out moments of what could happen, and it certainly all favours Canelo. But I think John Ryder is going to be his money's worth. He's going to provide entertainment. I certainly think he'll put up a better effort than Rocky Fielding did. And that's no disrespect to Rocky, but I just think he was also tailor-made for Canelo, and Canelo dispatched of him quite quickly. I'm not so sure if it'll be the same against John Ryder, but I certainly think it'll be very much the same scripts in terms of how the fight goes. But John, fair play to him, Johnson. He's got himself into this position. They've seen an opportunity to get Canelo in Mexico, get this fight on. John Ryder gets probably his career biggest payday. He gets a shot at the undisputed super middleweight title for all the marbles. I mean, this is the mountain. This is the top of the mountain for him. Whatever he does now, he doesn't probably have to fight again, win, lose or draw.
It's true. And I think that has definitely got to be in the back of his mind that, you know, he's earning himself enough money now to look after his family, and he could quit the sport for good. There would be no need to fight in the sport for money anymore. So you do lose that motivation to want to keep fighting. What's he going to do after Canelo? Go back down to the lower ranks and start fighting fighters on their way up? I don't think so. You know, the change in Ryder for me was following that Rocky Fielding defeat. The Jamie Cox win was a spectacular win. Knocked him out in 2 rounds. Jamie Cox is, I know people were looking at him, Jamie Cox, I mean, who's that? But look, let's be honest, for those in America probably don't necessarily know Jamie, he's not a bad fighter. And to get rid of Jamie Cox in 2 rounds was quite spectacular. And then the Sorokin fight, good win for him there. And then the Callum Smith fight. And again, you will look at that record and you will say, well, he lost to Callum Smith. But if you actually watched that fight back, I don't think anyone give Callum Smith that fight. You could squeeze a draw in there, but I think John won that fight. He got robbed. But then saying that, you know, he got a nice decision for himself against Danny Jacobs. I thought Danny Jacobs beat him back in 2022. But he's, you know, he was that guy, wasn't he, Sean? He was that. We always mention these fighters that once they come out of that domestic level, when we say domestic level, we mean like fighting on your national titles, say your UK titles, your British titles, or your American titles, or your German titles, whatever. And he felt like he was there in European. He didn't really look a world fighter to me. And then he had a change, really. He was literally following that Rocky Fielding defeat. He almost beat Callum Smith, who was revered as probably one of the best British fighters we had, and still is, to be fair. So that elevated him into a point where actually, you know, maybe he could potentially fight on a world stage. And he proved, I mean, Danny Jacobs, it was a close fight, but I just think Danny nicked it. But even still, he got the decision. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, the Zach Parker fight, that was a fight that many was 50-50 with. Would Zach be able to do it? He broke his hand and he had to pull out. And that is why he's in this position now, to fight for the money. And I mean, it is a bit like a Rocky story. You got a guy that has lost to some average fighters in terms of the level he's fighting against on Saturday night, early hours of Sunday morning in Sol Canelo Alvarez. But as you say, everything has built up to this moment. This is the one moment of his life, the moment to prove himself. Now, that is enough inspiration inside you to want to produce the goods. It's difficult, though. You're fighting one of the best in this division. So it goes either way, doesn't it? He can either crumble under the pressure. You know, mentality is a huge thing. Is he going to have the right mentality to be able to go in there in Mexico, all them thousands of fans cheering on Canelo? And if Canelo's landing some shots, has he got that heart and desire to want to keep fighting? Well, that's what we're going to find out. And it is, that's the last hurrah for me, Sean, isn't it? I mean, where do you go from here? This is the top of the mountain, as you say. This is it. This is be all or end all for John Ryder for me. That's how I see it.
Yeah, you're right. And obviously, we're going to see on Saturday, we're going to talk about his chances and how he could possibly try to win the fight, of course. But before we get to that, we will talk, of course, about Canelo and summarise his recent fights. Now, we all know about his challenges up at light heavyweight when he beat Kovalev and then lost to Dmitry Bivol last year on Cinco de Mayo last year. So he's coming back to Cinco de Mayo this year and looking to really put a stamp on the authoritative world of boxing in terms of where he sits within that pound for pound list, because we looked at him a couple of years ago. I mean, he was the top of that list, and now with the shift in different divisions and different fighters, you wouldn't put him at the top of that list anymore. And this is why he's taking on the challenges, and the challenges will come in the form of like David Benavidez, or maybe he will decide to move up to light heavyweight again, who knows. But he lost to Dmitry Bivol. Dmitry Bivol made him look pretty average on that night, which was quite shocking to many, because many thought that maybe Canelo could continue to bite off as much as he could chew. And he didn't. In that fight, it shown the world how good Dmitry Bivol was and always has been. So he comes back and has the third fight in September against Gennady Golovkin. And let's be honest, we know our thoughts on that. Golovkin's past his prime. He is past his prime, ultimately. This fight would have happened directly after the second fight of theirs, and this would have been an immediate rematch from that second fight. We might have had a completely different fight. It was still close on two of the cards, to be fair, but it wasn't the same Golovkin for me. And this is the argument where people now are starting to look at Canelo and think, is he really starting to take a little bit of a slide? There's rumours that he's living a high life outside of the ring. Saturday's going to tell us the answers to that, but I don't think Saturday will give us the definitive answers, because this is against a guy who really is up against it in John Ryder. If this was David Benavidez in Mexico, now this would be a whole different conversation that we would be having, because you'd put then David Benavidez in with much more of a chance than John Ryder going into this. Arguably, people think that David Benavidez is going to be the one to topple Canelo in this particular division that he's reigned supreme in. So John Ryder is just like a long shot. He's like a 40-1, 80-1, 100-1, whatever you want to put him at. He's one of those guys. As simple as that, really. He's one of those guys. But you look at Canelo and his last few fights, and obviously throughout 2020 and 2021, he got some really good victories in the super middleweight division. Then he moved up, he loses to Bivol, as we said. Then he comes back down and he fights Golovkin for the third time, has a win against Golovkin, and now he's back again for his customary Cinco de Mayo fight. It's going to be an interesting fight for me. I think, like you said, Johnston, we all like to see Canelo now, regardless of what we think about the whole Glenn Buterol scandal a couple of years ago, and he sounds very contradictory because, of course, he had his ban, he served his ban, and then he come back, and you know, we've had this whole tirade of abuse that's been spouted at Conor Benn for his stuff. I suppose in the way in which it's been done with Conor is completely different. You know, he accepted his punishment, Canelo took his punishment and was able to fight again. Doesn't necessarily make him excused from that moment in his career, and I know that's what you were alluding to a little bit earlier, but certainly you can't help but understand what brings money to the sport, and that's him. He's the face of boxing. Whether you like him for what he did in the ring, or whether you don't like him for what he does outside of the ring with the whole tainted beef incident, you can't deny the fact that this guy brings eyeballs to the sport. And it is hard. It is really hard, because in my mind, I'm just like, just kick this guy out of the sport. Like, get him out of here. He shouldn't be in here. He's a drugs cheat. But yet he's allowed to do it because money talks. You lose a Canelo in this sport and you lose a huge pay packet. Everybody involved. And that is probably why the arguments of corruption start to come into play within boxing, because how can they allow Canelo to do what he's done and not allow somebody else on a much smaller scale and just give them like a 2-year ban or even a lifetime ban, but yet Canelo is allowed to do what he's done? It's a whole different can of worms. It's a whole different conversation. And we could easily sit here talking about that for the rest of the episode. But do you know what? I'm not going to focus on it. That's just sort of my previous opinion about the whole Clem Brugerol situation and where Canelo's at. What I'm focusing on now is this fight and what happens in it and the chances for John Ryder. And I'm going to let you sort of give your assessment of what John Ryder would have to do to be in with an opportunity, to be in with a chance to beat Canelo.
Well, I think you mentioned a great point, is since the Bivol fight and then the Golovkin, the third fight, there are elements to Canelo in both performance where you can say maybe he has reached, you know, since those, the Golovkin fights, the two fights, the first one in particular, I think he lost as well, which I won't go into again. And when we're talking about drugs and getting decisions here, it's hard not to elaborate on them, but look, we can't. The Golovkin fights, I mean, Rocky Field one was a layup, really. I do like Rocky, as unfortunate for him. Danny Jacobs, that was a big fight. It was a good fight. He got the victory. Kovalev, losing that fight, knocks him out. Cannon Smith outclasses him over 12 rounds. Yildirim, again, another layup fight, but he's been busy. Beats Billy Joe, beats Caleb Plant, and then loses to Bivol, and then comes back and gets a Golovkin win. I do think following that Caleb Plant victory, we still see him as the main man, and he has been the main man in the middleweight division, the super middleweight division. He's bossed it, hasn't he? He's bossed it for a few years. He's been the main man. He's been the marquee man. He's been the face of boxing. And as you say, he's starting to have a decline because you've got those young kids coming up. You've got in the lower ranks with your Davis and Haney's and Stevenson's. All of a sudden, a lot of talk about those guys, Benavidez, in this division. And all of a sudden now, Canelo's got some competition to try and keep in and around the pay-per-view. He definitely wraps that up on his all day long, but as in the pound-for-pound rankings, arguably he slipped away from that number one spot now. And the Golovkin fight, I think he looked a bit tired. I mean, it was an easy night for him. Golovkin was nowhere near the level we had ever seen Golovkin before. It was an easy fight for him. I was worried about the body shots. And you could see the speed had gone from Golovkin. But Canelo sort of without doing too much, Golovkin sort of come back into that fight when Canelo was pretty much ahead. And it was almost like he eased up a bit because he wanted the fight to go the distance as a respect marker to Golovkin in a way, because I think they've earned each other's respect with the two fights before. So there are elements there, Sean, where you say, all right, maybe Canelo is on a bit of a slide. But even if he is that going to make much difference for John? I find it difficult because the one thing that, you know, barring Golovkin and Bivol, Canelo struggled with the movers, didn't he, really? He struggled with the guys that are going to jab him and be elusive at times. And they were the ones that you thought were going to beat him, like the Mayweather blueprint, if you like, you know, just outbox him. The come-forward fighters, you know, unless they're big fellas like a Bivol, and if you look at the light heavyweight division and the super middleweight division, when you look at Benavidez, for instance, how big he is, I think he will be a light heavyweight at some point in his career. And then you look at Bivol and you look at Beterbiev, you know, they're big guys. They're all big fellas. Even Morel coming through, he's a super middleweight. He's a big guy. He's another one I think probably fight a light heavyweight at some point. So when they're pressure fighters, because of the size and because of the size difference of Canelo, then they're going to get results. And you see that with Bivol. You've seen it with Golovkin because Golovkin was just that type of guy. Any other guys lower than that standard And it's no disrespect to John Ryder. I know he's a southpaw. That could help him. But again, I just don't see it happening. I think he's got that high guard. I think Canelo, the way he can fundamentally break a fighter down in a ring is superb to watch. It is. It is tremendous at times. His punch selection, he don't waste nothing. We see it with Davis the other day. He's almost like a mold of Canelo. Don't waste nothing. Just take your time. And then when you land, they hurt him. And I mean, how does John Ryder... for me, Sean, it's almost like a Rocky thing. If he can survive for 12 rounds and go the distance with Canelo, I think that's an achievement in itself. I really do. I just can't see him even lasting the 12 rounds. He's not going to win a round. I can't see him winning a round. Unless, no disrespect to John Ryder at all, I just don't think he's anywhere near the level of Canelo. So it's hard for me to... I'm rooting for him. I would absolutely love him to pull a surprise. The only way he wins this fight, Sean, is if Canelo gets injured or he gets a really bad cut and the referee has to call it off. That's the only way he loses the fight. The only way Canelo loses that fight is by some miracle. You know, he does his knee in or something during the fight. Or his arm, breaks his hand. Other than that, sure, I hate to do this because I really want to back him. But I just can't see John winning his fight, mate.
I understand. I totally get it. And the general consensus is exactly what you've just said it is. Nobody really believes that John's going to win this fight. And if you really want to technically break it down, what has he got to do to win it? Well, he'll have to do what he does best, which is to get on his chest, Canelo's chest, and not give him room to work. But I think Canelo likes that type of a fight anyway. I think he would thrive off something like that. John Ryder's coming at him on the inside, and he's throwing shots. Canelo's going to be looking for the opportunity to throw in the body shots and the uppercuts and trying to hurt John Ryder. He's got that high guard. If Canelo breaks through that guard, I think that's when the problems start to arise. And if it happens pretty early on, we could see an early finish, much like Rocky Fielding. I said at the start when we started having this conversation, I think Ryder could take him more rounds than what Rocky Fielding does. But if he gets through early, Canelo, with certain types of shots, like the uppercuts on the inside or the body shots, if Ryder fights that way, then it could be an early night. It really could. It could be a big stoppage for the Mexican fans. And Ryder puts on a valiant performance, a brave go-out-on-your-shield performance. But if Ryder's to win the fight, he's got to make an impact on Canelo very quickly in the fight. I'm just not so sure he can do that. Now, both of them have come up from lower weights into this weight. Obviously, we look at John Ryder's career earlier, and he was a career middleweight before moving to super middleweight. So naturally, they're very evenly matched in terms of the stature. Looking at Ryder, I think he's a slight, an inch or two taller maybe, but in terms of the build, the shape of them both, they're both very similar. So I can see it being a very sort of close quarters affair, and these two guys basically banging away at each other throughout parts of the fight. It really depends on the Canelo that we see in the ring as well. If he decides not to go down that route and he decides to box and pick and look at certain moments where he sees the openings, we might get to see a Canelo where we think, oh my God, he's not on the slide. He's like, no, he's actually still in his prime, and maybe what we saw in the previous fights was down to some other reason. We could see that. But I'm like you, I can't see a way for Ryder winning the fight. I can see him putting a brave performance on, and I can see him getting stopped in the fight, and I could see it being maybe 6 to 7 rounds into the fight stoppage, but I'm not discounting the fact that it could be 3 or 4 rounds in if Canelo works him and breaks him down early enough in the fight. I mean, we've seen the heart and determination from John Ryder in fights previously, but is that going to be enough to carry him through against a guy who's a much more quality operator than him? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. And I think it could be a really difficult night. If he was to go 12 rounds, like you said, that in itself would be an achievement. And it feels horrible to sit there and write somebody completely off in a fight. But I think we've got to be realistic and look at the level of opposition for the amount of time and the years that have been spent at the high level that Canelo's been at in the different divisions he's been in against John Ryder, who's had a fluctuated career, and he's having the purple patch of his career. Can he do something? I don't think he can. I think he will give a good few rounds, but I'm certainly think it will be a stoppage for Canelo. But I can't not say it's an exciting fight, because I think it will provide exciting moments.
Yeah, it will. And as you say, he's got to get on his chest. He's got to push him back. But the trouble is with John is, because he is a similar size, there's not much height difference. There's not much in terms of weight. As you say, they were both middleweights. They both fought in the lower divisions. They've both grown into a super middleweight fighters. And, you know, it's just, can... can he do what Bivol done and what Golovkin done and stand in front of Canelo and hurt him? Because that's the only way he's going to do it, really. He's not going to box on the back foot. So that's what he's got to try and do. How many times have you actually seen Canelo hurt? Not very often. Let's put it that way. So can has John Ryder shown you ever in all these 37 fights that he's ever actually going to hurt someone of the stature of Canelo? No, he hasn't. You know, he can make it awkward for him, but let's be honest, Canelo will take them shots. I think for a couple of rounds, I think, John's, as you say, Sean, he's got to go for it. He's got to just go for broke. Try and hurt him early. Try and force him into a mistake of some sort and maybe land something and hope, really, and give a good account of yourself. But Canelo's just going to bide his time. I think he might just see if he can take a couple of his whacks. As soon as he knows he can, he's going to walk onto him and he's going to start breaking him down. And as you say, underneath, in the body, hit the body section, you know, underneath the elbows, in the side, and just get his guard down, or even finish him with a body shot. And then from there, with a crowd, I mean, the mentality of that, to be over in Mexico fighting Canelo, that, you know, that's a tall order. It really is. If John Ryder beats Canelo Alvarez, then I will never do a podcast ever again.
Well, this is it now. You better hope he doesn't, because you're ruining the plans.
I will never do a review or a preview show. It'd be the biggest shot. It'd be a bigger shot than Ruiz beating Anthony Joshua. It'd be a bigger shock than Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This is Rocky all day long. If he beats him, I mean, as I say, just stay on you. Try and last a distance, so people will give you respect for it. But you know, it's hard. It's hard for John. And if anything, he's got to use that everyone's writing him off, and use that fuel to prove us wrong.
Well, that is it for our Canelo and John Ryder preview. We will now move on to the preview for the Boxer card in the UK, also on Saturday, which has actually got some pretty good matched fights on it. And I'm actually looking forward to this card, and I will be watching this card. And it's headlined by Joshua Buatsi against Paweł Stepien from Poland. He's 19 fights in, 18-0-1. And you've got Buatsi at 16-0. Stepien is relatively unknown to the general masses of boxing fans. He's fought most of his career, if not all of his career, in Poland, and he is looking for the opportunity here to stop Buatsi in his tracks. Looking at his career, looking at some of the footage I've seen on YouTube of Stepien, I certainly think he's going to provide a stern enough test and give the activity levels back to Buatsi as to what he needs at this moment in time. But ultimately, I think it's an opportunity for Buatsi to be back out. It's an opportunity to be Buatsi to be moving forward in his light heavyweight campaign and start to get them big fights in the light heavyweight division. It's an unbeaten record, yes, albeit maybe you might say it's a padded unbeaten record who he's fighting, but still, it is still an unbeaten record. It is still another name on Buatsi's resume, and it keeps him active if he gets the win. Polish opponents are very difficult fighters to face. They are not easy to break down. We have seen many Polish fighters come to the UK and put on great performances and go the distance. So I wouldn't be surprised if this fight with Stepien goes the distance for Buatsi. So that is the main fight on that card. But just quickly running through it before we talk a little bit more about Buatsi's fight, we've got some really good fights on the card. We've got Sean McCombe and Casey Benjamin, the WBO European Super Lightweight title on the line. And we've got Lauren Price and Kirsty Bavington in the first ever British female belt going up for grabs. The British welterweight crown going up for grabs in that particular fight. Lauren Price in her fourth professional fight looking to get British honours. We've got Tyler Denny and Macaulay McGowan, which I think will be a pretty good scrap as well. You've got Corey Gibbs and Jimmy First in a rematch of their fight, in which Jimmy First handed Corey Gibbs his first loss. And you've got the return of Shaquan Peters against Joe McIntyre, and Ben Whittaker also on this particular card. So on that basis, Johnston, the actual card in general has got some well-matched fights, in my opinion. I think it's actually one of those cards where I can honestly say I'll probably sit and watch six out of them seven or eight fights, because they actually are really well matched. And yes, okay, I'm talking about Stepien being potentially padded record. I still think he could provide a really good test for Buatsi, and a stern test enough for Buatsi to get them rounds in. for then to move forward in his career because of the issues he's had outside with the promotional aspect of it and him coming over to boxer and him having this first big bout and moving forward from there?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating with Joshua Buatsi because, you know, when he first jumped on the scene, I was very enthusiastic about it on the back of, I think it was the Rio Olympics, wasn't it? He got the bronze medal out there and I really enjoyed what I see. I enjoyed the way he speaks. He's a likeable character and he's got a lot of ability. So when he signed and then he seemed to be moving along quite quickly, it seemed to be going well. And then Craig Richards last year, so it's a whole year he's been out of the ring, and I know he's had a promotional issue. He's now with Sky Sports, which is fine, you know, he's left Eddie. But it's just, it's like he's stalled. Maybe that's why he left Eddie. Maybe that is the reason, because when you look at it, there's not really any, you know, where's it going next? You know, Craig Richards, and then from there you should be fighting someone that we know. And again, you know, there's no disrespect to Stepien. You know, he's fought in Poland all his life, but he's a very carefully selected opponent, in my honest opinion. Now, this guy's come from Poland. He's got an undefeated record, and people see that and think, oh, he's got to be half decent. But let's be honest here. When you look at the opposition he's fought, you don't know any of those names. And even then, you know, are there, when you look at the records that they've had, they're not the greatest, and the fighters that they've fought. I mean, look, I'm not like a, that Polish boxing isn't any good or anything. That's not what I'm suggesting. It's not a tough circuit. It is in terms of their toughness. They are tend to be tough Eastern European fighters, but hopefully for me, Sean, this has got to be a fight, the first one, because just to get Buatsi back out again, to get the rounds in, hopefully Stepien can take him over six. That would be good for Buatsi. And then he can move on quickly. I'm talking like 2 months' time. You know, they've got to move him quicker. He's been in this position, it feels like, Sean, isn't it, for about 2 years, where we're sort of saying, now, this is it. This is, he's going to win this and he needs to go. And then you find yourself saying the same thing. It's quite boring, actually. And I do like Joshua. I really do. I'm a huge fan of his, but it's just stalled. And so, yeah, I'm hoping this move to Sky, let's get a good win here. You know, let's get stoppage again. I think, you know, he's got, you know, last you look at Bolotnik stopped him, Belinda DeSantis. I mean, these guys, you don't even know who really they are. In all honesty, and I don't mean that, no disrespect to these guys, but Joshua surely is a level above these fellas. So, yeah, for me, I'm hoping this is just him to get back out active. He ain't been fought for like almost a year, pretty much all but a few weeks. Get this with him, get back out in a couple of months, and then get back out for a big fight in 3 months or 4 months' time, because that's what he needs, Sean, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He certainly needs that, because if he doesn't get the big fights, like you say, he's in danger of maybe going past his peak before he gets them big fights.
Exactly, and that's exactly it, Sean. You've hit the nail on the head by saying that. They could miss his peak by other people messing out of his career.
That's my worry for him. So I hope that this performance then gets moved on pretty quickly. The one thing I'm confident of is that with him moving to boxing and Ben Shalom, obviously Ben has had his issues as a promoter outside of the ring, but he has delivered some really, really good fights in the past 18 months. And I will give him that. He's delivered some. He's finally given us Khan and Brook. He gave us Taylor and Catterall. He gave us the Shields and Marshall fight. You know, we've seen some fights through Sky Sports and through Boxer that we didn't even see when Matchroom was on Sky Sports and the ones that we wanted to see for years. So I'm hoping that this will be the start of that, that this will be the potential move forward for him. Richard Ryakpor, as we're speaking, is about to make an announcement. So by the time you listen to this, Ryakpor will have made his announcement. So whether that's he's challenging for a world title up at Cruiserweight, you know, he's another one that, you know, had to make a certain move in his career to be able to move his career forward. And Nicola is another one, you know, the bunch of those fighters are certainly moving around to get themselves into a position. So I'm hoping this is the same for Buatsi as well. Let's see. Let's hope he gets through this fight. Let's hope he gets the rounds in and he looks pretty good doing so. And then we can discuss in our reaction show whether we can talk about these bigger fights. It will feel quite repetitive, as you say, because we've talked about this before with him. But let's not forget the other fights on the card. Like I mentioned a few of them there. Lauren Price in particular fighting for the vacant welterweight title, the British title, the first time it happened in boxing history in Britain. I think this is a huge moment as well for boxing. And certainly for the females of the sport, having that equality aspect of it, this is brilliant. and this is not being played up enough, in my opinion. I think this is great that it's happening. Kirsty Bavington's a really good fighter as well. I know Kirsty. I've seen Kirsty on the circuit. I've seen her get some decent victories. Yes, she lost on a split decision in her last fight in March of this year. It was a difficult fight for her, but she has got wins on her record against people that are relatively well known in the UK boxing circuit. She has lost on points to Sandy Ryan in 2021. So this is an opportunity for Lauren Price to become a champion and really sort of start to recognise that Olympic pedigree and four fights in. And because of the depths of the division being not very deep, I think it's not going to be long before, you know, if Lauren Price wins this fight, she moves on straight up to that world level, because she's certainly one that we've got high hopes for on the world stage.
Yeah, we have. And you know, talking about Buatsi coming out of the Olympics and then hoping he's going to have an excellent career, and it's stalled. Whereas this seems to be going well for Lauren. And as you say, it's different because, you know, the pool is a lot shorter, a lot shallower than it is compared to the men's. But Lauren Price has got everything she needs to go on and be a world champion. So, you know, as you say, you know a bit more about Kirsty Bavington than I do. I've seen odd little bits, not seen too much detail on her, but, you know, you would expect Lauren Price to come through this. And then from there, as you say, get a world title fight quite easily. And then it's just, you know, the boxing's her oyster, really. I mean, she's only 28. She's still got... She could be a world champion by the end of the year. She's laughing. And I think she can do that, honestly. She's got the ability. Can she turn it over from the amateurs into the pros? Well, she's made a great start. So, but it's a good fight, though, Sean. You're right. And you look at Laura and you just hope... I'm sure she won't, but, you know, you hope she doesn't fall into that Buatsi pool. But she... You know, it all looks good for her. She should be winning the British title. And from there, you know, I do believe she could be the face of female boxing like Katie Taylor was. I do. I think she's got the potential.
Well, Katie Taylor still is. Obviously, she's fighting Cameron this month, which is certainly one we're going to be covering.
Disappearing the horizon.
Of course.
So,
of course.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. Thinking in the next sort of 4 or 5 years, maybe.
So there are other fights on this weekend, a couple that I haven't mentioned on the Canelo undercard, which I think are probably worth tuning into. Certainly Julio Cesar Martinez defending his WBC World Flyweight title against Ronald Batista. I think it's good to be tuning into the Martinez fight because we want, obviously, Sonny Edwards to eventually fight him. He's been calling for that fight for some time now, and I think he could certainly beat him. So definitely want to tune into to see whether he can defend his WBC title. Another interesting fight on that card is Alexander Gervic against Rikard Bolotniks. Bolotniks is the same fighter who we talked about earlier when Buatsi beat him, and then Gerdvik is the same fighter that got beat off Paterbiev, and then has come back earlier in the year and is making a comeback after 3 years out. And this is another interesting fight. I mean, if you know these names and you've tuned into them for the last few years, it's certainly one worth tuning into. There are obviously prospects on the card that are worth watching as well, but we won't go too much into it for this episode. The focus has been about Canelo and John Ryder, and it's another exciting fight week to be talking about. It's a Canelo fight week. The man at the top of the mountain and the man at the bottom who's trying to take the guy off the top of the mountain is John Ryder, and it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he can do it. We don't believe he can. We've both said we don't believe he can do it, but you just absolutely never know within this sport. And that is it for this particular episode. I want to say thank you, as always, to everybody for tuning in to the Big Fight Preview. If you've enjoyed it, please let us know on social media by tweeting us at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And you can also find us on YouTube. Please subscribe. BTR Boxing Podcast Network. Get all of our latest content, including our series-based content, which is the Career Profiles Podcast, Legendary Nights, and The Darker Side of Boxing. A big shout out to the patrons of this podcast. I hope you're enjoying your ad-free version of the episode and you're enjoying our patron-only series, Boxing Through the Decades. If you're not a patron and you're interested in seeing what else we do aside from the stuff that we put out generally, please go and check us out on patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast, where you can find patron-only episodes like Boxing Through the Decades, like The Greatest Super Middleweights, like The Black Murderer's Row. There's many episodes on there that we haven't released to the general public, so please just go and have a quick look. You do get them. You do get ad-free versions of all episodes on there. You get early access to series-based content. And of course, you get to be part of that little community that we've created of like-minded boxing fans that just love the additional content that we're putting out there. Please do check us out. But for this episode, fight fans, this is it. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
A dream is made real. Ricky Hatt rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Podcast Network.